The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Happy Friday. Peter, you look very concerned.
Sorry, I was reading something and then you started and I was just like, wow.
Would you like me to say hello again?
Yeah, if you could do it in a less, just
aggressive,
a more...
Aggressive,
yeah, that was slightly spiritual. Aggressive for me. I feel fragile today, so try again.
Okay, I'll try it in a calmer voice.
I'm going to look away as if I don't know you're going to be there.
Okay, ready? Okay. Hello, Peter.
Oh, Cece, so lovely to see you. What are you doing here?
I've just been here the whole time waiting for you to talk to me.
Oh, like a little voyeur. It's interesting. We'll get onto that in another episode, shall we?
Do that. How are you today?
I'm all the better for seeing you. How are you?
I feel spiritual.
Do you?
Yeah.
You look fabulously innocent today.
That's why. I think when I go for the innocent look, it just does something within. It
Dusty makes me feel, pink.
Yes. It makes me feel like a good person, a good human.
Does it?
Yeah. That's really high pitch.
Does it?
Yeah, it does.
You are a good person. You're a fabulous person.
I am a good person. Yeah, thank you.
No, that's okay.
Sometimes we do things that we question ourselves, but thank you.
Yes, yeah, so sometimes you do a lot of things that make me question whether you're a good person, but deep down, I do genuinely think you are.
Oh, wicked. I hope all of our listeners
are the same. That was very high-pitched. Why are you so high today?
Oh. I don't know. It's so happy.
Right, well, this week, what are we doing?
This week on FUBAR, we are talking about awareness.
No, we're not. We're talking about acceptance.
This week, we're talking about acceptance. I did think that. And that's why it's been baffling my head, my poor little brain cells. So this week, we're talking about acceptance.
Is that headband too tight? Are you all right? Do you take that off?
Can I have a minute?
Yeah. Is it squeezing your cranium?
And a shot. It is, actually. So we're talking about acceptance, apparently. It's quite a strong word, though, isn't it? It's quite, it automatically makes me go into like a level of like, okay, let's talk about deep stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think awareness is another one of them subjects that you could probably have a whole series on, isn't it?
Isn't it acceptance, not awareness?
Oh, fuck, it's confusing. Oh,
So this week, we're going to cover two subjects because we can't get our shit together.
Yeah, and evidently awareness is not a strong point for me or Cece. We don't even know what we're talking about. So it's something that we need to work on. So no, it's acceptance. Wow. Acceptance. I've got it in my head.
It's written down on a piece of paper very loudly for me, but I'm obviously not reading it correctly. But it is. It's acceptance. And our guest, I am going to get this right, is Jack Guinness, who...
No, it's not.
No, don't say that.
No, it is.
I really read that then. It's definitely Jack Guinness, and he's a contributing editor on GQ. Pete, have you ever been in GQ?
Fuck no.
I feel like you should have been, or you will be at some point.
At what point would they have an absolute Z-list loser like me in GQ?
I reckon you're going to have a nice little spread in it, and you're going to be like looking all smooth and cool and talking about something...
It'll be like the back section of what not to wear, something like that. Worst dressed in the week.
I really could see you in it. Have a chat with your agent. I think that's your next step.
Well, let's have a little chat with Jack today, see if I can get a spot.
Okay, let's do that too.
Yeah. Today's actually networking for me. I'm not interested in the show. I'm just trying to get in GQ. So we've got Jack talking about awareness, which is a massive, massive subject.
No, it's about acceptance.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Right, so we... Let's just take a minute. Okay, so we've got...
Today's going to go really well because we are both on the ball.
We are. So we've got Jack talking about acceptance. We've got the love the way you lie game. And we've got our listeners' questions and advice. But before all of that, Cece, you know what we're going to do.
I do know what we're going to do. Tell everyone
what we're going
to
do.
We are going to have a little listen to what your word of the week is, your sext book word. Tell me.
Welcome to Pete's Dating Sex Book.
Do-do-do-do.
Thank you. I've never had my own theme tune before, but now I do. How does it go? Do-do-do-do.
Exactly, yes.
I like it. Okay, so this week's dating sex book term is a hot Richard.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Cece, as always, what do you think that is?
So most of the men I know called Richard are quite hot. So it must mean, or I imagine it's someone maybe famous who's called Richard and everyone.
You're thinking Richard Gere.
I would go a bit younger than that.
Okay.
I still feel like I've got it in me to go a little bit younger than him.
Okay, do you?
I definitely do. So I reckon it's the hot guy, and it's a bit like, what's that series? Don't know what it is, so tell me, Pete, what is a hot Richard?
Well, you are completely wrong.
Okay, good.
Richard, what is short... What is short?
Dick!
Are you just shouting that out because it popped into your head, or... Has it been a while? Yes.
All of the above. Go on.
So a hot Richard is when a man and a woman are spooning and the woman farts on the man's dick, making it feel warm and cozy. That is a hot Richard. So, Cece, have you ever given man a hot Richard?
All right, hang on, let's talk about this. Right, we can't ever just leave it there. So we're spooning, not me and I, people are spooning. Yes. And so the willy is not in, it's underneath. What is in?
I think it can just be in and around the area that she drops her guts on it.
Oh, this is so sick.
And that, well, it doesn't have to be she, whoever the little spone is. Spone? Oh, fucking hell. whoever the little spoon is basically farts on the dick, and that creates what is known globally as a hot Richard.
Is the person the big spoon turned on by this hot Richard?
Listen, my definition is open to interpretation. So personally, my dick, if someone fired it, would probably shrivel up into a tiny little ball. My bollocks would probably reside somewhere near my throat for a good month or so after. But some people may enjoy the hot Richard, and it may make them rock hard.
Okay.
So well, that's it for this week. It's short and sweet, but it is a hot Richard.
Hot Richard, no.
Yeah, well, we discussed it doesn't have to be up there. It can just be hanging around.
Okay. I can honestly say that I haven't tried that yet.
Yet. I like the...
Because you can never say never, right?
Exactly. You're open to all new things.
It might be someone's thing. They might say, please, Cece, do the hot Richard on me.
So, yeah, if anyone is listening, any guys listening, and you do want to date Cece, just be aware that she is potentially up for a hot Richard. So, shall we move on to the weird and wonderful dating news?
Please, can we?
Yes, let's. Would you like to start us off, as always?
Yeah, after I've had a breather, a moment, cold shower, and everything in between. So, a cheating girlfriend exposed after her man leaves a note for her boyfriend in a genius place. A man, in fact, has been praised for his efforts to alert... friend that she was cheating on him after she admitted that she was in a relationship in the morning after they slept together. In order to ensure that the other man knew he was being cheated on, he left a note under the toilet seat where the woman was unlikely to notice and remove it, knowing that the man was likely to see it by lifting up the toilet lid when he went to the toilet. It said, "This chick just told me that she has a boyfriend the morning after. Sorry to tell you this, but I wanted you to know. Sorry, bro."
That's well, firstly, very polite message. I would appreciate that. secondly, should we talk about the lady? So happily just took a man home with a boyfriend. But yeah, it's always men that get in trouble for being... Sorry, do you want chips with that? Or you're right? So yeah, I'm here for that. I have been in a situation before where I have slept with someone that has had a boyfriend and I didn't know. And I also told him.
This is good. So explain. So what was it? Did she say like after, during, how did it work? Did she call out his name?
I ended up going home with a girl. We had a wonderful night of making love. Well, it was wonderful for me, not so much for her probably. And then a couple of days later, she was actually quite a nice girl. So I spoke to her a couple of days later. She basically said, "Listen, I've got to tell you, I have got a boyfriend." And I was like, "Wow, all right, fine." That was it. So I said, "Look, we just... fucking call it quits there." About 2 weeks later, a guy came up to me in a bar on a night out and went, "Do you know this girl?" And said her name. And I was like, "Yeah." And he was like, "That's my bird." And I was like, "Listen, I didn't know, but yeah, it's true. Whatever you may have heard." He said, "I've heard that you may have whatever." And I said, "Yeah, it's true," basically.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is quite, it's quite, do you think it's something they've got to be at the point of their relationship where it's just not working and that's why?
Look, I'm no angel and like, I don't judge people, but if you are cheating on someone, you're probably not really, should be, you probably shouldn't be with them, should you?
No. No, you bloody shouldn't.
No.
I do. I have to say, though, 10 out of 10 for that guy for being...
He was actually a really nice guy.
Oh, I was talking about the guy.
Oh, this guy, sorry.
And that guy.
So it's all about me.
Everyone says it's all about you. No, but, you know, your guy and this guy, decent.
Yeah, yes, I like it. I like it. And really, also, really good place to put that note.
Fucking brilliant. Yeah, exactly. Unless you're cleaning the toilet, you're not going to know.
Really good place. That was quite inventive.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, we appreciate you, toilet note man. We don't appreciate you, girl shagging two men.
No.
So, next up, we have a man who's left mortified by a group text blunder while trying to ask out a Bumble date. The guy is known as British Will, because he's British and his name's Will. He decided to reignite some old dating app flames on his return to New York because he spent the pandemic at the city. So looking to utilise every ounce of his British charm, Will sent out a message to 14 women who he'd been in contact with previously, putting the offer of a date back on the table. Instead of sending the same message to the 14 women individually, he accidentally put them all together in one horrifically mortifying group chat.
Oh...
So I'm going to read out some of the messages. So basically, the message he sent said, "Hey, stranger, we matched on Bumble last year, but didn't meet due to COVID. I just arrived back in the city and was wondering if you're still single." And he signed it, "British Will." Then the replies, the first one, which is my favourite, "Ew, did you just send this text to 14 girls at once?
Oh,
goodbye, sir." Someone's also put, "Also, I went on a date with him and he's definitely catfished, just for your information." Someone else has put, "Samesies." Then they replied with, "I never met up with him either, but happy to have met you all." Someone else has put, "Never met up with him, but he stalks me for months saying, hey, stranger." Then someone has actually asked all the girls in the group chat, "Lol, okay, when are we all getting together?" And someone else has replied with, "Thank you, British Will, for connecting us." So The date hasn't worked out too well for him, but what he has done is he's made friends for all the girls who he catfished, stalked, and just generally was a bit of a not to.
Do you know, this reminds me a little bit of that story we had on a few weeks ago of the girl that had put, she arranged the date for however many men it was all on, you know, in a bar. But the difference with that is she was honest about it. She
yes.
was like, "Listen, all of you, I'm going to date one of you. You always mingle, make friends." But this guy's tried to be sly and it's completely backfired.
My favourite part of this is the fact that he's read all of these messages as well and hasn't tried to justify himself, hasn't done any. I mean, what would you do?
You can't, though. You're just digging and digging, aren't you?
It is one of my favourite things, though, when, because there's so many stories about things like this, when people send accidental text messages or accidental mm-hmm. group, do you know what I mean? Or you send the wrong thing to the wrong chat. Have you got any accidental text message stories?
I don't think I've done that kind of stuff for years. I mean, it would only be like if you're talking about someone and then you text the person that you're talking about. But I haven't, I'm so paranoid of that happening that I think I really, really make sure. Have you ever...
No,
accidentally.
Years and years ago I did, and it's one of the main reasons that I generally call all blokes mate and all women babe. but it wasn't that bad. I'd messaged someone basically with the wrong name because I was supposed to send it to someone else, but I was replying to someone and I called in the wrong name because I was also messaging another girl at the same time and I was having two chats at the same time and then called someone the other name. So it's not that bad, but I have heard some absolute horror stories, you know, like people sending pictures of their tits to their dad and shit like that. Do you know what I mean? By accident. You must have heard all these horror stories that, you know, they always come up.
Have you ever accidentally said the wrong name during a very intimate moment?
No, because I call everyone babe.
So, okay.
Oh,
so
I shouldn't have said that
go on,
because
babe,
now...
You're amazing. Go on, babe. Like that.
Oh, well...
Is that what you say?
I'm not a hype man during sex. Yes, babe. Go on, babe. You're doing really good. Well done, you. I mean, what? Namaste.
During.
No. I shouldn't have said that on this. I just call everyone baby.
Now you've
everyone's
fucked
gonna
it now.
Absolutely fucked it. I'm really bad with names, like really, really bad.
Yeah, I am too, actually.
Yeah, what's your name?
Every day's a different day, but I respond to most.
As do I. So that was that weird and wonderful dating news. While Cece recovers from where
the excitement of calling someone the wrong name.
And being a hype man during sex. we'll move on to this week's topic, which is acceptance.
Wow, we were in sync and we got it right.
They're amazing. Right, so acceptance. It's said that if you're creating a relationship to last, you'll be either naturally or intentionally making sure your relationship is based on the three A's. Assertiveness, accommodation, and acceptance. For a relationship to be healthy, partners need to see their differences and accept those that are tolerable. So, acceptance, what does it mean to you, babe?
I mean, in that context, I think it's quite about the, you know, partners seeing if to accept that they are tolerable. There, it's about boundaries, really, isn't it? It's kind of where is your, what are you willing to accept, and what is a boundary for you?
It's boundaries and compromise, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And funnily, I was actually talking to someone about this earlier. If you're with age, we have more boundaries, right? Because we've learned more things, we have different beliefs. So when you are in a relationship in, you know, late 20s, early 30s, I think those boundaries definitely change, which can sometimes make it harder to accept somebody because you simply have decided who you are as a person, or you're deciding who you are as a person. Does that make sense?
100% it makes sense. I think one of the things that people probably fear most generally in life, whether they say it or not, is acceptance. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone generally wants to be accepted, don't they? But for me, someone once told me, a guy who's a dating coach, once told me that if you, the only thing that you really need to have in line with a potential partner for things to work out, and everything else can be worked around, is your core values. If your core values are the same, everything else you can compromise if you are willing to do so, and you can accept people provided you've got the same core values. But acceptance isn't just about accepting someone else, it's also about accepting yourself, which is another massive, massive thing. Accepting your flaws and things you might have to improve on, accepting who you are as a person, I think that's really important as well.
I mean, I think it's
an all-encompassing word, isn't it?
Well, it is, and it's always a lesson, because just from, like, speaking for myself, you know, when you think you've sort of nailed it, then something else comes up and you think, oh, okay, well, I need to accept myself in this situation to be accepted. I remember being in an argument with a boyfriend once, and he said to me, where's the girl from the TV? And I was like, yeah, I know. And I thought, wow, I've come to this relationship like open, accepting, you know, this is who I am, I'm free. And to hear that, you think, you've now, all that work I've done on me to accept who I am has gone in one comment from someone that you care about. And when you start to care, you know, it hurts more. Mm. And like that comment has stuck with me for such a long time. And, you know, I'm at a point now where I understand, you know, we're both on different journeys, and that was maybe an attack to get a reaction from me. But it's still hurtful. Yeah. Because he wasn't accepting that was where I was at, and my behaviour wasn't acceptable, I guess, to his beliefs.
Well, just for the record, I have met, when we first met, I'd met Cece from the TV, and you were Cece from the TV, and she was delightful. But Cece now, as I've got to know you, is my favourite person in the world. So I much prefer you being you than Cece from the TV.
Well, thank you for that. I'm going to take that and send this podcast to him. Go listen to that.
Go fuck yourself, dickhead.
And that.
So, obviously, accepting yourself and knowing your flaws is a really important thing. So do you think there are things about you that someone else would have to accept? So things that you might think are less desirable, because I think a lot of people have the idea that they're going to fall in love with someone and everything's going to be perfect, and it is just, and it doesn't always work out that way. Everyone's got flaws, and everyone's got, or makes mistakes and does different things. Are there things that people would have to accept to date you?
Absolutely. And but also this is,
and do you know what they are? Do you have an idea of things that?
Yeah, I think so. But there's also that, excuse me, my throat today. There's also that thing where, it's quite easy in, say, an argument or whatever, a conversation, to say, well, this is just who I am. You need to accept who I am. This is me. You accept who I am, or bye.
I feel like that's a cop out.
I agree with you, because we can all learn and we can all change and we can all evolve, right? And if you're too ignorant to look at what you're doing wrong, then actually maybe that person's pointing out something that you just don't, and you're not ready to hear. I'm going really deep right now.
But, yeah, but it's true. And you have to take responsibility for your actions and responsibility for your flaws. And that doesn't mean being completely self-deprecating or judgmental of yourself, but it's accepting that there are things. We've all got so many things in life. You will never be that perfect version of yourself or that what you want to be. We're always learning, always making mistakes, and we're always going to have flaws that you can work on. But if you're not even willing to work on that, then you make it very difficult for someone to accept you.
Yeah. And it is that, it's working on the flaws. Like, what are things that are, you know, what is the core you, and what are the things that you can actually change and adapt? And, you know, there's some things about myself I simply cannot change. It's just my makeup. But if it's something that might be hurtful to someone else, that's when I'm always willing to try and change and do things differently.
And people that always say, oh, well, I can't change, and that's the way it is. And I've been guilty of that sometimes, definitely. And I think a really good way to kind of look at that is to look back at yourself 10 years ago and how much you have changed consciously or subconsciously since then. You become a different person naturally sometimes without trying. And some of the things that I would have done 10 years ago, I would never dream of doing now. And that's not because I've consciously tried to be different. Mm-hmm. I've just grown up, matured, or whatever else. Mm-hmm. So actually, you can all change.
Yeah.
The saying you can't is bollocks. You can make a difference, and you can try and be a better version of yourself if you want to.
Yeah. And that's the journey again, isn't it? It's like you just nailed it with the 10 years ago, like, you know, we didn't know these conversations. We were just doing what we wanted to do, and
10 years ago, Cece and I I think I've caught whatever you had in your throat.
Sounds good.
Yeah, thank you.
Pretty
buddy.
Deep.
10 years ago. Hey, fucking don't slide off your chair, babe. 10 years ago, Cece and I were probably off our tits on tequila somewhere. Do you know what I mean? Like
10 years ago, we were doing that the other weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I say 10 years ago, 10 minutes before the show. But do you know what I mean? You change, and even we've said it before. Even the way you date 10 years ago, what you're looking for is different. People do change and do adapt, and you should always try and become a better person.
Yeah.
And that's about working on yourself. And I think for this topic, for me, accepting yourself is probably the most important thing, rather than accepting someone else, because it's all well and good accepting someone else's flaws, but if you're not working on your own, accepting yourself, it's the same as I think I've said it before about love. How can you love someone else fully if you don't have some sort of love for yourself? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It completely does. And also, would you take advice from someone? You know, if someone said, oh, you need to change, I don't accept this behavior. Would you really take advice from that person if they haven't completely accepted / self-love, loved themselves?
Yeah, and do you know what? Another thing when it comes to relationships, I think accepting, and this is a bit of a weird one, really. I've never really thought about it, but I don't know why I just have. But accepting what your relationship is, both parties, I think is important. Because I think sometimes you get... And listen, I'm not saying this for everyone, but I do know a lot of people that are in relationships that probably shouldn't be in those relationships, but they stay in them because they do love that person, but they're not in love with them. Mm-hmm. And they've sort of accepted that that's just the way it's going to be. Mm-hmm. If both parties aren't on the same page, and I don't think that's right to do that at all. I don't think it's right to settle and just accept this is probably as good as it's going to get if it's not making you happy. But if I do know couples that have kind of both accepted that, and it makes their relationship steady and non-toxic and non-whatever else, but quite sad.
Well, that again, I think, comes back to the love, doesn't it? Because love yourself fully and you've given yourself that self-love, would you really accept something that wasn't the very best of what it should be? If me 10 years ago in terrible relationships because I didn't have enough self-love to realize that I could probably have done better than that.
The most fulfilling relationship you can be in is one with yourself.
On that beautiful note, I'm going to welcome our guest because that was so lovely.
Thank you, Beau.
That is okay. Jack Guinness. Welcome.
That was very formal.
Jack, how are you?
I'm really good. It's lovely to see you both on this lovely sunny day.
You look like you've been in the sun. You look very tanned.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm tanned very easily and people think I'm wearing fake tan, but I think I got a little bit drunk and passed out in a garden on the weekend and that's done it.
That's the better story than fake tan, isn't it?
I know, 10 out of 10, love that.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Normally after every weekend, one of us, either CT or I, have got a story about passing out in a garden or a bush or something along
that. What about this weekend? Anything fun, anything weird?
Not as good as that.
No, yeah, every weekend is weird, mate. Every weekend is weird. We share far too much on this show. Thank you for joining us. We're going to start with some quick fire questions just to warm you up.
Great, love it.
Stacey, do you want to take it away?
Yes. Date night in or date night out?
Oh, date night out. Definitely.
Kissing or cuddling?
Cuddling.
Giving gifts or receiving gifts?
Giving gifts.
Dating apps or meeting in person?
Meeting in person, definitely. I'm on dating apps, but I find it really hard to take it IRL. So I'd rather meet someone in real life. And also from photographs, you can't get that, like, that magic, that smell. Like, I often fancy people that if you showed me a picture of them, I'd be like, oh, no, I don't fancy them. But in real life, something magical just happens. So definitely in real life.
I love that. I've got a little story about smell as well. I'll tell you later. Next question.
Dream job.
Dream job or dream partner?
Oh, dream partner, because then I think together you can go off and take over the world and get your dream job.
Do you know what? This is I don't know how many weeks we've done this show. That's the loveliest answer to that question. Chat up line or straight to the point?
Straight to the point, no question.
Big spoon or little spoon?
either one.
Depends what day it is. And last one, single or taken?
Single. Yes, I didn't mean to shout that. God,
join our club.
Join the club. I said that overly enthusiastically. I should have gone like, oh, I'm actually single, but I screamed in quite a needy way. Single!
It's all right.
We do it all the time.
Yeah, there's no judgment on this podcast. Don't worry about it. So tell us a little bit about your book.
It's very exciting. So it's a collection of essays. And I asked my queer heroes, my LGBTQ plus heroes, to write an essay about an LGBTQ plus person that's changed their life. So someone that kind of made them, gave them the bravery to become who they are. So I've got an amazing lineup of people. I've got Elton John has written an essay in there.
Wow.
So, Jack, did you actually get to speak to Elton John then? I did.
I've been very lucky enough through my work in the fashion world to meet Elton a couple of times, but very briefly and very much like, oh my God, I'm talking to Elton John.
What you're saying, Jack, is Elton is like your best mate.
He's my fairy godmother.
Yeah,
basically.
Cool. Love that.
We're family. But I had to take a call with him and one of his, he's got an incredible team around him that are really lovely. And they said, you know, you're going to be on the phone now with Elton John. Do you have a landline? And I was like, no one's got a landline nowadays. Why do I need a landline? And then they very coolly said to me, do you want to lose your signal while you're on the phone to Sir Elton John? And I was like, oh my God, they like put the fear of God into me, basically saying like, you need a landline because what if something goes wrong with your mobile phone? Do you want to be the guy that hangs up on Elton John? So I was like, oh my God, now I'm terrified. I was quite relaxed before, but you put the fear of God in me. And then my phone rang. And this lovely, sweet voice, I was expecting this like crazy, big, scary character. And the sweetest voice on the phone just said, hello, Jack, how are you? And we had the loveliest talk. And during the call, he kept calling me my darling boy. And every time he said it, I nearly died. He's like the kindest man. You know, he has this big like reputation for being like quite a drama queen and quite
a diva.
Yeah, exactly. He's the opposite of that. He's so sweet and he couldn't have been more generous to me and he couldn't have put me better at ease. And he was just lovely. He was such a cool guy. I really, really, I love Elton John.
Amazing. So you've got Elton John. You've also got
Graham Norton's written a hilarious essay. Graham Norton wrote about how he was literally the only gay in the village, like in Little Britain. And he says that being gay is something you can't do by yourself. You need a partner to be gay with. So he writes this brilliant little essay saying, well, Jesus, I couldn't, there was no point in coming out as homosexual because if I was gay, I'd just be gay alone. I'd be gay riding my bicycle alone in the village, gay watching television by myself. And it's true, you need someone to be in a relationship. You need someone else. You can't just be doing it alone in your room. So that was great. That's Graham Norton's essay. Then we've got Tan France from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. We've got Mae Martin.
Oh,
and he's amazing. Tan France is great. Then we've got Mae Martin, the comedian who's got a big new show out at the moment. We've got the activist Monroe Bergdorf. We've got like a real kind of rich, diverse group of people that hit all the different areas from activism to music to film. And hopefully it's as like exciting and fun as the LGBTQ plus community themselves. I wanted to like capture a little bit of that, of that gay magic.
So it's all basically our collection of short stories by all these icons, basically.
Yeah. And it's like, I think of it as a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. And the spoonful of sugar is like the humor, it's the moving stories, it's the stories that are going to make you laugh and going to make you cry. And the medicine is the history that you're learning along the way, but you don't really realize you're learning it. It's like fun school, fun queer school.
Amazing. Fun queer school. Love
there
that.
You go.
That's great.
Love that. Brilliant. So this week's topic for us is acceptance. Cece and I have spoken a little bit about it. What does acceptance mean to you?
Oh, so I think acceptance is a process, and I think you have different levels of it. I think especially for LGBTQ plus people, first thing you have to do is accept either your gender or your sexuality. You need to accept and work out who you are. And then once you've worked out who you are, who you're attracted to, and then you enter the world of adult relationships, and self-acceptance is a whole nother level of learning. I don't think you ever stop, do you?
No, that's exactly what we just said. You're constantly learning, trying to evolve and kind of better yourself in different ways. What's your kind of story of acceptance then? When did you first accept yourself?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, when they realise that they're gay or trans or whatever it is, they instantly feel cut off from the people around you. And this isn't just about LGBTQ plus people. Everyone, when you're a teenager, you feel like a bit of a weirdo. You don't feel like you connect to your family, or you want to rebel against your family, or whatever weird family stuff you've got going on. We've all got it. That's universal. And then you go off to kind of find out who you are. And I think for LGBTQ plus people, it's even more extreme because we feel so different from what's normal, from everyone that's around us. So I think for me, definitely, that led me to get really depressed. It led me to really like question who I am. And it also set me out into maybe environments that I was a little bit too young to have been in. I think, you know, every community, but especially the LGBTQ plus community, deals with addiction and behaviors that we maybe adopt and scenes we get into because we're trying to find out who we are. And sometimes that can lead you down paths that aren't that helpful for you. So I think for me, it was definitely a really long process of learning to just like love who I am and be okay with who I am and enjoy who I am. So that's my little story.
And how old were you when you came out to your parents firstly?
So my parents, I was really old. Like I was, I don't know, my late 20s.
Wow, really?
Yeah, that's really old, isn't it?
Well, it's so young, but I mean, to tell your parents, I guess I hear what you're saying. I mean, did they know? I think they must have known.
Well, all my friends joke when they're like, "Well, you didn't need to come out, Jack. You're very, you're like, you came out of the womb, like, you know, sashaying about." Have they met you was their first question when I said I've just come up to my parents. They were like, well, they knew. But it's with everything, like especially it's quite a British thing, isn't it, that even when you know stuff about someone, you don't necessarily say it out loud. We've all got areas with our friends and our families that we all know about, but maybe we don't talk about. So for me, the biggest part was actually just saying it out loud, just saying those words. And for a lot of people, that's really difficult, and it was for me. But I came up to my friends like when I was really, really young. So that was good. And a weird thing about being gay is also you have to keep coming out. Like every time you join a new job, you're like, oh, am I going to tell Karen in finance? Like, can I be fucked? Like, and you have to keep, you have to keep doing it, don't you? I mean, I don't, I just wear really like loud clothes and fanny about and everyone knows I'm gay, so it's fine. But it that is annoying. You have to keep coming out.
Did you get to a point where before you were maybe not wearing flamboyant clothes and you So would that be kind of where you would say maybe the transition of accepting yourself?
Yeah. I think, yeah, absolutely. I think whatever it is, whatever it is, whatever that little bit of you that you feel that you have to hide for whatever reason, you know, I talk to a lot of my straight mates and they feel just as imprisoned by having to act like a certain way as much as gay people do, if not more so. I see so many of my straight male mates not feeling they can talk about their feelings.
Being overly macho, because
being overly macho, yeah.
That's what a man should be.
Yeah, and like male suicide is a massive, without being too heavy, it's a huge problem. It's the biggest killer of men under 35. Like, men are having a really, really difficult time right now. And I think that idea of self-acceptance, that idea of being who you want to be and behaving the way you want to behave and showing everyone that little bit of you that maybe you're ashamed of or you don't want people to see because you'll be embarrassed of it or you're worried people will take the piss out of you. Mm-hmm. I think everyone has a lot to learn from the process of people coming out, because coming out isn't necessarily just about saying I'm gay, I'm trans, I'm non-binary, whatever it might be for you. It's about saying this is who I am in my completeness. And we all hide who we really are. We all do that. And I've got loads of like straight laddie mates that are going through that. You know, they hide behind alcohol, they hide behind drugs, they hide behind their like macho image. And I think we're all called in our lives to work out who are we, love ourselves, and then let other people see that. And that's such a healing experience for everyone.
At the other side of the coin to acceptance, accepting other people.
Yes, when you're, I find that hard to do.
But yeah, exactly. That's probably the
hardest. I hate everyone.
I'm exactly the same. I love dogs. I hate people. But yeah, accepting other people, I think, is quite difficult. And I actually think unless you accept yourself in a way, it's probably harder to accept other people if you can't even accept yourself. So that's with this whole acceptance thing. I think it's what we were saying earlier on. Accepting yourself is probably the first part of it. Then moving on to the accepting of other people, because do you know what I mean? Other people's flaws and whatnot. So on a lighter note, in relationships, accepting another person's flaws and whatever else, are there things that you can accept and you can't accept?
Absolutely.
Tolerating stuff.
So I had an ex-boyfriend who was a legend. He was like the funniest guy I've ever met. And do you remember on iPhones when you do your thumbprint? Mm-hmm. So I remember being asleep and I could just smell KFC. And I was just like, oh, I can smell KFC in my bed. Like, what's going on? And I woke up and he'd got my thumbprint. He'd opened my phone and ordered KFC off my phone. I was eating it in bed next to me. I was trying to eat it so quickly that I wouldn't wake up and realize. And that, no, see, you're looking at me like that's a really bad thing. He was a funny guy. He was kind of doing it like as a joke. But stealing your phone, secretly ordering KFC off Uber Eats and then eating it in bed next to you, I can't accept that. That's a deal breaker for me. If it maybe got me like a Zinger Tower meal or something as well, right, I'd have forgiven it.
So yeah, is it actually eating the chicken in bed, or is it the fact? So actually, it's not that you can accept that. Well, what I can't accept is not fucking ordering for me. That's what you can't accept.
That's it. That's
selfish bastard.
That's my line. You need to get enough fast food for everyone. That's my line. Wow. And farting in bed, I'm not into that.
Well, don't it's funny you say that, actually.
It is funny.
No. Each week, I'm completely on your level. I hate things like that. But each week, I do this dating sex book. I give definitions of different things. And this week's one was a hot Richard. And that is basically the process of spooning someone and the little spoon farting on the big spoon on their cock, basically.
Yes.
That's called a hot Richard.
Wow.
You're welcome.
That is so beautiful. I thought when you said Hot Richard, it was maybe a quote from Shakespeare or something, but no, it's about farting when you're the little spoon. That's lovely.
Yes, exactly. So listen, don't say that we don't educate you whilst you're here. But yeah.
Do you feel, Jack, since sort of, you know, dating, relationships and whatnot, do you feel like the things that you accepted 10 years ago are the same things that you accept now, or has it changed? What would you say?
That's a great question. Well, I think going back to what Pete was saying there, that I think as you get older, I get a little bit less precious about stuff, and I'm prepared to like be a bit more open-minded for the right person. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that, like, I was having dinner with a girlfriend yesterday and she said that she didn't like the hat that a guy had worn on a dating app, but he mm-hmm. was perfect, so she wasn't going to go on a date with him. Mm-hmm. And I was like, come on, like, mm-hmm. beggars can't be choosers. Just go on a bloody date with the guy. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, things like that. I think I'm less shallow I think if I saw someone had horrible shoes on, I'd be like, maybe I'll give them a chance. Do you know what I mean?
I think everyone, we've sort of mentioned something similar a couple of times, Cece, where you when you're younger, you have a type and aesthetic that you might look for. And actually, when you get older, the only thing that I kind of really look for in a girl is presence. Someone that captivates me for whatever reason.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily about being, you know, the way she looks or the loudest one or the best dressed or whatever else. It's just something, that captivation, mm-hmm. or as cliche as it is, that spark. And everything else you can generally accept, can't you, around
that? I totally agree with you. And also, you can work on all the other stuff. You can you can fix up anyone.
I literally said to Cece before this, a friend of mine who's like a dating expert, he said to me, listen, the only thing you should ever look for when you're looking for a partner is that your core values match.
That's great.
As long as your core values match, everything else you can compromise and work on. Everything else, you said, but you've got to have the same core values and the same kind of foundation in life. And if you don't have that, that's when things are a little bit all over the shop. Because everything else you can learn to accept for the right person.
So you've got to say, for example, believe that you have to share KFC.
Exactly.
But so that's fine. That's a go. That's a green light.
If a core value is, you don't fucking eat chicken without me. If he doesn't share that, and he evidently does, that's why he's an ex.
Yeah, get rid of him.
You started off by calling this guy a legend. He does actually, he's become more of a legend now. Now the more you talk about this ex, he actually does sound pretty decent.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
What was that look?
No, you know, there's people that you love, but you're like, you'll be family, not, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You can stay in my life, but, you know, I want someone that shares KFC with me. Let's put it that way.
You can stay in my life, but not in my bed. That one.
There you go. This is brilliant. That's a t-shirt.
Thank you. Listen, I just come up with captions all day
You're
long.
You're a bloody meme machine.
I have a meme machine. I love that. Yes.
Jack, are you ready to play a little game with us?
Yes.
Every week we play a game with our guests called Two Truths and One Lie. And we would like you to tell us three different statements or stories. And we get to guess which one is the truth. Is that right? Two truths, one lie. Yeah, that is right.
Two truths, one lie. Yeah, that's what I've got.
Two truths, one lie. Every week it changes.
See, my problem with this was trying to come up with a story that I was okay sharing, because it turns out I'm a terrible, terrible human being. Like, they're awful.
You went right place.
Welcome to me and Cece. We are now the Three Musketeers, evidently.
Okay, great.
Brilliant. Cece
and I, Cece and I are fucking horrendous people.
I was talking to one of my friends and I was like, can I tell that story? And she was like, you sound like a terrible person. And the next one, she was like, you'll get cancelled. The next one, I have no career. Like, they're all, I haven't done anything decent in my life, it turns out. But these are the three that are okay enough for you. Okay.
Okay.
Excited.
So we number one.
Number one.
So I was on a date. It was a blind date with someone off an app that I'd never met. And I was very nervous and I got very, very drunk. And I went to the toilet. And when I came back and got to the top of the stairs, I realized I couldn't remember what the guy I was on the date with looked like. And I sat down at the wrong table with a different guy that had brown hair. And then I looked round and the guy I was on a date with saw me sit down with a stranger.
Jack, listen, I know we're just on the first story, but I think I love you. That is fucking brilliant.
Okay.
I hope that's true.
Yeah.
Right, story two.
So the next one is, these are all, see, I sound terrible. So the second one, I was on a date with a guy and this time I was pretty sober. And it was really going brilliantly. It was so good. We're like 3 hours in and I just couldn't remember his name. And I just couldn't remember it. And I didn't know him off an app. I just wasn't thinking straight. And his wallet was on the table and he was in the loo. And I thought, I'm just gonna really quickly just grab up one of his cards and then just look at his name really fast. And it'll be fine. And then I'll know what his name is. And I went, opened his wallet, got a credit card out, and it just had the initial, didn't even have his full name. And as I looked at it, I looked up and he was standing there and he caught me going through his wallet. And I then didn't want to admit that I didn't know what his name was. So I made up some weird story about looking for a picture of his driving license. He thought I was completely mental and that was it.
Well, either that or he thought that you were a thief.
I mean,
he 100% thought that you were scamming his cars with a little card thing.
God, what, with a little machine?
Yeah.
The last one is I was on a date with a guy.
Go on a lot of dates, Jack.
Well, this is the thing. I didn't really think I did, but it turns out I'm a massive whore. So I went on a date with a guy. I really liked him, and I thought it was going really well. And he said, I'm really tired. I've got a big meeting first thing in the morning. So we said goodnight. It was really nice. Said we'll see each other again. I went and met my mates, and we were out at a club, and I turned around, and the guy I was on a date with was making out with someone on the dance floor.
This is just brilliant. I love these. Right. Okay. So story one was on a date, forgot who you were on a date with, so sat with someone else.
Yes.
Story two, stole from your date.
Yes.
Story three, your date fucked you off.
Yeah.
Get hold of someone else.
In front of me.
In front of you.
And my mates. And my mates that I just told what a great date I'd gone on.
Brilliant. So, Cece, questions? Any questions?
I just want all of these to be true. They're so good. So the guy that the first one, wrong guy, right guy, whatever it was, did you go on a second date?
No.
Okay.
Cece, if you haven't worked it out, I never get a second date.
Well, it just means you've got to make the most of the first dates. That's what
there
I do.
There you go.
Carry on, Cece.
So that was number two, I would say, what was my question? No questions for number two, actually. And number three, where was the club?
Oh, it was in East London. It was a gay club called The Glory.
The Glory.
Yeah. I've only got one question. That's for number three. Did you say anything to him, or did he know you were there? Did
he saw me. He saw me. He stopped kissing the guy, turned around, looked at me, and then just ignored me and carried on dancing, which was the worst bit of it.
Oh, it's so good.
This is hard.
Okay, so guess, come on, guys. Which one of them is not true?
Right, I'm going to go straight in there. I'm terrible at this game, by the way, because evidently I'm just really easy to lie to. So I think number two is the lie.
Okay, so you think the wallet, the thief was the lie? Because you think I'm an honest guy, I wouldn't do that. Cece, what do you think?
No, it's not because I think you're an honest guy. That's definitely not it. I just don't think you would forget a name if you were sober.
Okay.
Oh, hang on, but he didn't say you were
sober. I did. I was sober.
Oh.
I wasn't sober. I just wasn't.
But you weren't pissed enough to sit on a wrong table.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm torn between two and three. I'm gonna be different and go three. Three is the lie.
Okay, great. That was the making out. So they're all true, but they didn't all happen to me. The one that didn't happen to me, it happened to a girl I know, is number one. She got wasted and sat down with a stranger and got caught, and the guy got up and left straight away.
Get her on the show. What is her name?
She, I can't say what her name is.
To be on the show.
She has a really important job as well, and she's fallen asleep in toilets on dates.
I love her.
And not come back. And the guy thought she left. And then she's woken up in a locked restaurant.
I've been on a date with her.
Yeah, you need to marry her. She's a legend. I did go through someone's wallet and get caught. And I did go on a date with the guy that went off with someone else immediately after my date.
That is such a fucking fabulous story.
I mean, it's so harsh as well. And also, the guy that he was making out with was not as hot as I was. So I'm really upset. I love just the shit personality.
I was literally talking to someone else about this the other day, how if you are dating someone, or you've been on a date with someone or whatever else, and then you find out they're dating someone else or whoever they're with after, why does everyone go, they're definitely not as good as me?
You have to, just to protect the last modicum of what self-respect that you've got. I mean, it's tough out there, guys. It is bleak out there.
It is tough. I feel like since we're all single, I think we should all have like a singles night.
I feel like we'd burn London to the ground. It would be carnage.
And I'm fucking here for it.
Jack, thank you for being an incredible guest. Thank you for putting the show together, because clearly Pete and I we're not on it today.
We ended on a high.
we did.
We started low, didn't we? There we go. Thank you so much, Jack, honestly. And when's your book out?
My book is out on the 17th of June, and it's called The Queer Bible.
Amazing.
Excited.
Thank you so much, guys. You're lovely, and I had a load of fun.
Oh, thank you. Take care.
Goodbye, my friends.
Bye, Pete. Bye, Cece.
Bye-bye.
Cece.
I'm here. I'm listening. Yes, Peter.
I love him.
Do you know what? I love that.
What, just a really lovely guy.
I know. We find these friends, and I genuinely mean it when I say, we're going out. You're now part of the crew. You're in. Let's go. Let's do this. I genuinely mean it.
And do you know what? Cece and I, it's not that we're needy or anything, but we seem to say it every week to different people, and not one of them has responded to us.
No, they haven't. But I love the enthusiasm when we do say it, though. They're always like, yeah, I'll come.
Eventually, someone will respond. In fact, the only person that does respond to us is Yuri.
And that is true.
Yeah. So you are listening to The Dating Show on FUBAR Radio. That was the amazing Jack Guinness, who's got a book out called The Queer Bible on the 17th of June.
Yeah.
We are now moving on to the listeners' questions and stories. Cece and I love this part of the show. We love speaking to you. We love hearing your terrible stories. And if you want advice, we love to give you bad advice. But this week, there's no advice. It's just stories. So we'll start with the first one, which is Rachel from Redhill.
So I went out on a date with this guy, got to the pub. He spent most of the time talking about himself. He was clearly very much in love with himself. So I'd already decided that I definitely wasn't having a second date and I just needed to get out there fairly quickly, but didn't want to be rude. And all of a sudden, as I was about to get up and say, look, I'm going to go, thanks for a nice evening, he said, right, I'm going now. And I said, oh, okay. He said, well, you didn't think you were going to get a second date, did you? And as I was about to speak, he went, you do realise that you've been picked. And I looked at him and said, I have no idea what that means. Got up and walked out as he was walking out too. Got to my car, Googled it. And yes, being picked is all about someone arranging a date as a bet with his friends or her friends as a joke. So I was a joke. Wasn't great. Haven't been brave enough to go on an internet date since. What can I say? I've been pigged. Really not very nice. There you go.
Right. I know this term. I've heard this a number of times before. So yeah, it's basically it's a bet who can go on the worst date, effectively.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Well, listen, Rachel, firstly, what a fucking arsehole. Yeah. It sounded bad before you even said that, because it sounded like you got Kanye'd.
She got Kanye, yeah.
Dating sex book a couple of weeks ago,
yeah.
When someone just talks about themselves. So that's bad enough. But the second part of that, just what a fucking arsehole, really.
All of it. What a fucking arsehole for just every single part. If you're going to do this and go on a date with someone, whatever this pig's term, at least be nice. Don't just sit there and just talk over someone and be just a ignorant. I got so many words for whoever this person was and his friend circle that decided that they should pick someone. That is horrible, and that will scar people for life. Rachel, I really, really feel for you.
Yeah, and also, listen, it's one of them things that says more about the people that are doing that than it does about the people that are going on the date. So, fuck
100%,
him.
Yeah.
Find your bollocks, so to speak, and go on another date, because as much as I'm a man, not all men and not all people in the world are complete fucking idiots. Some people are nice. It is what it is. Do you know what I mean? Like, you move on. I know that's really easy to say, but fuck him.
No, do. And also, just remember, Rach, karma is a bitch.
Exactly. And also, you didn't want to be there anyway.
Didn't want to be there.
Namaste.
Watch his karma. Namaste. Come and get him in his arsehole. Yeah. Who's next?
Yes, Cece. Come and get him in his arsehole.
Fucking Samantha. Let's hear it. Now, this has got me fired up because I feel bad. I don't like people being mistreated. It really fucks me off. So Samantha, what's your story?
One of my worst dating experiences was about 9 years ago. I went on an online dating site. I met someone for a first date. Wasn't into him, to be honest. Was not into him, but I did feel sorry for him. I do not do that anymore, by the way. So because it was my birthday the following weekend, I invited him along with me and numerous friends to go for drinks. he turned up on that with his stuff to move in, which was a bit insane. Needless to say, didn't move in. And we did go out and socialise. And then the next day, obviously, I told him this was not happening. Well, that actually progressed into a full-blown stalking incident with him dating friends to ask questions about me, threats to myself, threats to my children, and even threats to the police when they got involved as well. And the grand finale was sending me a map book with my route mapped out to an event I was attending and warning me not to get lost that night as something could happen to me. So yeah, that's why I'm not really into online dating.
Oh God.
Oh. That's two fabulous dating stories this week of one guy who's a complete arsehole and the other one who sounds like he's been taking tips from Ted Bundy. both, I believe, met online. Not a good advertisement for online dating this week, I'll be honest with you.
It's not. There are some positives of online dating. However, these two particular stories are quite horrific. That second one is like, that could be made into a movie.
Yeah, I mean,
it's quite good, actually. It's quite a good story, isn't it? As in, it's terrible, but it's good. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I know juicy. Exactly what you mean, babe. Yeah.
Juicy.
Yeah, turning up your stuff to move in.
Wow.
Odd. The bit that got me was the then dating friends to find out about me, then threatening family, friends, police. I mean, he really, I mean, not a good guy again.
No.
Guys, listen, like, do you know what I mean? I feel like I'm trying to hold it up for the geezers here. Stop doing fucking silly bollock things, right? Because you make us all sound fucking mental.
Yeah, and that's a good point. It's like you hear one bad story about a guy and then it's like, oh, all men are blah, blah, you know. It's not true.
No.
It's not true at all.
No, but yeah, stories like that do not make us sound particularly good because they're two really horrible stories this week. What a really negative end to...
Oh, no, week. Don't worry, we can pick this up. Don't worry, we can fucking pick this up.
Do you know what I mean? Listen, Rachel, I love you. I feel bad for you. Samantha, we also love you. And yeah, we feel bad for you. But get back on that horse and ride the fuck out of it.
Fuck them.
Fuck him.
Fuck him.
This week, Cece and I, his motto at the end of the show is fuck him.
When I started doing the show, I chose to like refrain from using all my favourite swear words, but now I just feel so free. I feel like I've accepted this is where I'm at.
This is one of the most beautiful things about the growth and development and blossoming friendship that Cece and I have is that when we first started doing this show and in the conversations that we had pre-recording of the first episode, I didn't realise how filthy and foul-mouthed Cece was because she was holding it back. And what I've done is I've just coaxed it out of her a little bit more.
Yeah,
Each and every week, she's become more and more... And I just love that because now Cece and I, believe it or not, considering you'd probably not put us together as being as close as what we are, now we are like two peas in a fucking pod. And I love our pod.
No, that's the ending we want. On that happy note, two peas in a pod. Thank you again for joining, listening to our waffle. We love it. We do love the sound of our own voices every single week.
We also love the sound of yours every time you give us the dating stories. So yeah, we're all a family. We are the FUBAR, the dating show FUBAR family.
We are. Where can you find us, Pete? Where can you find us?
I will tell you right now where you can find us. So you can find us on Instagram at @thedating_show, which
yes,
is everything to do. It's our home, it's our hub, it's our HQ for this show.
Yes, and obviously
you can listen to this show on FUBAR and all previous episodes you can find on all platforms, Spotify and everything else. Just type in The Dating Show, listen to us talk shit for weeks and weeks and weeks on end and carry on listening because... Otherwise, we'll get cancelled.
Yes, you can. And no, we're not. No. There you go. I feel like I'm in church on a Sunday and I'm really like...
Praise the Lord!
Yeah, I'm being your hype man. There you go.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Throwing everything around today.
I love it. You know what? We're doing it again.
Drag so it out.
Every week, I'm just going to explain it to everyone. Every week, you know, Cece and I have sort of a rough outline and format of what we're going to do in the show. The last part of the show just says, closing link, say goodbye. But Cece and I drag that on for about 15 minutes every single week. And every single week, our producer just cuts it all out because we just don't like saying goodbye, do we?
Well, that means we can just string it out because it's cut out anyway. So... I know what we can do this week. We can do what we nailed last week, which was the namaste, because on your count.
Are we going to close our eyes again?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, all right. Are you ready? So yes. I'm going to do 1, 2, 3, and then we're going to namaste.
Exactly.
Okay, but don't leave too much of a pause, Cece, because I know you like to pause.
Okay, big arms, remember. So, those ones.
Right. Yes, so it's going to be a 1, 2, 3, namaste.
Yeah.
Okay, goodbye, everyone. 1, 2, 3,
namaste. Oh, you look so beautiful when you close your eyes and talk into the microphone.
Oh.
It just looks so beautiful, Pete. Look at that face. Let's leave it there. Let's leave it on Pete's beautiful face and the sound of his voice.
I'm very red. Goodbye.